This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
That people heard in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did. Maybe you heard the sonic boom. I got a couple of emails, actually, about that coming in late. One was from Todd, who said, Kate, I happen to be in D.C. I was visiting my daughter, and boy, it sounded like something all of a sudden was exploding almost, and it turned out it was the F-16s that had to be scrambled to go after this wayward plane. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, so it is a noise unlike any other. It is unique, right? So the Pentagon F-16 scrambled, and the idea was there was this wayward plane, so when you have a wayward plane, of course, what's the thought with that? What you got to have it down. Where is this plane going? And it ended up that it was like a supersonic chase of a light aircraft who had a pilot that was unresponsive, that violated airspace in D.C. and then crashed into the mountains of Virginia. And they tried to do everything to get to this. It was Cessna, and they tried to do everything they could to get the attention of the pilot, even using flares at one point, four people were on board the plane, and it was registered to Encore Motors out of Melbourne, Florida. You look at FlightAware, and that's what it shows you. And supposedly, you know, the owner was on the plane. This is sad. His daughter, a grandchild, and a nanny were on board, but that hasn't been completely verified. But the military tried to establish contact with the pilot, just again unresponsive, and the plane seemed like it was flying on autopilot, and so that's why they were scrambled, and they did what they could. The flares are what you try to do to draw attention to the pilot, and that did absolutely nothing. And this was a plane that took off from Tennessee and was going to Long Island in New York. And obviously it didn't do it. It didn't. When it kind of reached the New York area, it made a 180-degree turn, and then the flight ended in Virginia. And it made me think of this, because this is rare, but it does happen. When you had golfer Payne Stewart, who had four other people in a plane, and they were going thousands of miles with a pilot, and the passengers were unresponsive, and the plane eventually crashed in South Dakota, no survivors. And in that case, the plane lost pressure. It caused the people inside to lose consciousness because of oxygen deprivation. So that's why the pilot wasn't responsive. And we've heard a couple of stories that are similar to that. So a lot of people were all over Twitter saying they heard a loud noise that shook the ground and the walls, and what they heard. And I mean, in Virginia, they were saying it, parts of Virginia, parts of Maryland too, is they heard the F-16s going after this plane that did not react. So sadly, it could be the same thing that caused Payne Stewart's flight to go down. I wouldn't be surprised if that's ultimately what is determined. In the weekend mode, part of the weekend, the president signed the debt ceiling bill. This is not a surprise, because you had both chambers scrambling to get a deal done, so they did, and Biden just signed it into law, and it avoided that default that we were talking about ad nauseum, because it was going to affect so many people, plenty of people in this audience, and probably all of us in some way, because of what it would due to the economy and depending on how long it was dragged out. So now it's just official. The debt limit suspends the debt limit through 2025 and takes the threat of default off the table until the next year's presidential election. And so it addresses the debt limit. The law caps non-defense spending, expands work requirements for some food stamp recipients, claws back over $20 million from some COVID-19 relief funds, actually even more than that. Then that gets clawed back. The IRS has to give some of the money that was earmarked for the IRS. That gets taken off the table. So it was a bipartisan deal that led to long days and nights and looking like everything was just going to fall apart. And by June 5th, what was going to happen? And June 5th is coming. It's here. And no, it does not happen. We pay the bills. But ultimately, it is about lawmakers on both sides figuring this out and not letting this little room for error happen again. I mean, it sounds ridiculous to say it because we constantly find ourselves in this same place. And it's not a good place for people to be when they're concerned about what's going to happen if they don't get their check. What happens if I don't get it? I mean, that's what you were hearing because the threat was there. I mean, the military was sending out notices to people just to tell them, by the way, I mean, here's the possibility. So that doesn't make anyone feel good. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to get some kind of a side hustle all of a sudden to try to pay for this? Yeah, no. All right, this is a follow-up right from the start because we certainly have people listening in Iowa, and many of you were concerned about it. Like, wow, how many of our buildings are insecure? And the body of one of three men who had been missing after the partial collapse of that apartment building last week in Davenport, Iowa, has been found, recovered on Saturday. Two other men, a 51-year-old and a 60-year-old, are still unaccounted for. But Brandon Colvin is the first person confirmed to have died in the collapse. And there was so much concern that they couldn't find the survivors, that they couldn't find bodies, and that, you know, they wanted to know, that they didn't want to leave it at that. So the remains of the six-story apartment building were constantly in motion in the first, up to the first 36 hours after it collapsed, and posed a risk to rescuers who were trying to search for survivors. They even at one point were using drones, but the building was constantly shifting, and they had no idea. I mean, it was at risk for collapse every moment that they were trying to find people and search for people. So they were trying to balance the building conditions and the responders being safe for the first responders. And wow. So just piles and piles of bricks. And there were complaints about this building. There were complaints about what was happening. It's a century-old building, and it was at risk of crumbling. And then, you know, so much was ignored. And then here's what happens. It collapses. And it could have been worse as far as how many more people could have died. But what a terrible, terrible thing. Coming up next, the man cave. What's going on in the playoffs on the ice and on the hardwoods? We're going to talk about it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
And now so are you. So I'm here with you in the man cave. A lot of things happening in the world of sports, but isn't there always? I was catching the tail end of a couple things today. Watched a bunch of French Open tennis. I like tennis, and there was some good tennis to be had. And then there was an American, Sloane Stephens, who I thought, ooh, she's going to knock off maybe two in the world. Didn't happen, but it really was fun to watch. You had Kyle Busch, who really hung in there on some of the late restarts, wins the NASCAR Cup race in OT, no less. So that was a fun finish for all you fans of a lot of turns. It was kind of chaotic. It was definitely chaotic. Even Bubba Wallace brought out the 11th and final yellow when his brake rotor let go with five laps remaining. There were also two red flags to go with a two-hour weather delay that caused the race to finish really in the twilight, because it wouldn't have otherwise. It would have finished before that. So floodlights popping up around the speedway, and Kyle Busch holding off Denny Hamlin through a series of those late restarts to win this, and it was a big win. I mean, it's interesting. Busch said afterwards, "I felt like this was a good precursor to what we have coming for the rest of the year. We knew we really wanted to come out here and set a focus on running at a shorter track." So, because he said the short track stuff has been really a struggle, and so we were happy we were able to do that. A lot of people were there, a sellout crowd, 60,000 on a very, very hot, let me say this again, hot summer day, but it turned out to be interesting because when you have different things happening during the race, I don't have to explain to people who are race fans, it does make it much more intriguing. It was maybe intriguing because it was a playoff. It was Jack's tournament, the Golden Bear. Victor Hovland gets a PGA Tour win at a very big event. The 25-year-old Norwegian who went to school in the United States at Oklahoma State made a two-par putt from 58 feet. I was actually watching this on the first playoff hole. He beats Denny McCarthy, who was so choked up. Oh, I felt bad for him because he knows he let a win slip away. And Hovland said, I don't want it again. He didn't want to be the person who came runner-up. So now he has won in each of the last four seasons on tour, a big win for him. And, of course, the legend Jack Nicklaus, who this is his course, Muirfield Village Golf Course, built near his childhood home in Dublin, Ohio. And it's a very big tournament. So the seventh-ranked player in the world, who's been very consistent, making some great finishes, has let some wins slip away. So that was a nice win for him. All right, let's get to the NBA playoffs. So Miami bounces back, beating the Nuggets in the second game, 111-108 on Sunday. They were staring down the potential of a 2-0 deficit. They're on the road. I said this heading into the playoffs. They want to at least come away with a split. And sure enough, they did it. They had to overcome a 41-point effort from a superstar, Jokic, who is amazing for Denver. And Jimmy Butler brought what he had to bring. I mean, I've said this before. I'm a big fan of Jimmy Butler's. And, in fact, Jeremy Paulson, who is our technical director tonight, we talk off the air, and he is also a huge Butler fan. And he's actually laments, because he's in Minnesota, that he didn't stay in Minnesota. But Butler is such the heart and soul of this Heat team to me. And as Eric Spoelstra said, the Heat coach afterwards, our guys are competitors and they love these kinds of moments. And they stepped up to the moment big time. Butler with 21 points, 21 key points when they needed it. And it was down the stretch where this counted, and they were able to, come through with three and change in the fourth quarter. They outscored Denver 17-5 and took the lead and held on to it for good and survived that. And now the payoff is the switch. And, you know, what is the switch is, of course, going to the home crowd and getting out of Denver. I thought it was funny heading into it. Spoelstra said, I was listening to something he said heading into the series because he's asked some ridiculous questions. But anyone, any team, anywhere that plays in Denver gets asked about, oh, Mile High, you can't breathe, and what's that going to be like? And he said, listen, if we can't breathe when we're in Denver, then we'll make it even, Steven. When the Nuggets come to Miami, we'll just turn off the air conditioning in the building. So the Heat and the Nuggets in Game 3 with that series tied. It tips on Wednesday night. Should be interesting. Denver is actually favored in this by 2.5 points. So how about that? In the world of hockey, the puck and the stick, it is the race for the Stanley Cup. The Panthers and the Golden Knights, this thing unloaded on Saturday night. The Golden Knights coming off of just demolishing the Dallas Stars in Game 6, where the Stars couldn't hit anything. The Golden Knights beat the Panthers 5-2. They continued their winning ways. And they had a big surge in the third period. They scored three goals in the third period, making, obviously, the huge difference there. So now It is it's game two on Monday night, still in Vegas. The Vegas fans are crazy about this team. I mean, look, they're an expansion team. They've only been around since 2017. In their first year, they went to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it is kind of exciting. You can if you go to a game there, the excitement is like the building is it is wonderful. They're so behind this team. They so have embraced hockey in a very, very big way. So both of these series for the Stanley Cup and for the right to claim supremacy in the NBA is on. It's game on right now. And then those seasons wrap up, and we're talking about football because football always is supreme with most people. And football is now about the mini camps and what we'll see with the development of some of the teams, and then ultimately you get into training camp, which is only, it's so crazy, it's only a couple of months away, not even, it's less than that, just shy of a couple of months, and we'll be back in the middle of this talking about who's going to go where and what's going to happen and what does it look like. I mean, you can kind of feel the excitement kicking up again, which is crazy. It feels like we just said goodbye to the last season and we're back here again. Which, by the way, Norma Hunt, the matriarch of the Chiefs, dead at the age of 85. She had a familiar face. You'd see her in the box and whatnot. And it's interesting. She attended all 57 Super Bowl games. Yeah, and she was known as a consummate hostess and had the ability to make people feel comfortable because she was out there a lot, especially in the beginning when the Super Bowl got underway, which, of course, was Hunt was a big part of that. And she was in the middle of so much of that. Lamar Hunt was by his side during so much of that and was a big fan of sports, was a big fan of the Chiefs. Of course, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, said he had known Hunt for 40 years and said he was always struck by her warmth and grace. Remember, Lamar died back in 2006. The music means that we've got to toss it to the next segment. Hang on, everybody. Some great authors coming your way next.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Reports say there was never any danger to the Capitol after fighter jets scrambled when a Cessna violated U.S. airspace in Washington. An FAA release says the small plane was headed to New York on Sunday afternoon after taking off from a northeastern Tennessee municipal airport, but crashed into a mountainous area of southwest Virginia. The federal grand jury investigating former President Trump's handling of classified documents is expected to meet this week. According to NBC News, activity has slowed in recent weeks following months of prosecutors working for special counsel Jack Smith presenting evidence and witness testimony. An investigation is underway after more than a dozen migrants from South America were taken to a California church by private plane. Governor Gavin Newsom is working with the Department of Justice to find out who paid for their travel expenses and if any crimes were committed. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Story. This time around in Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, we have Scott Allen Curley with us. His book is called Absolution, The Dark Path to Light. We had such a great off-air conversation. He's such a jolt of inspiration because of what he overcame, what he has to offer, and what he's doing right now is so fascinating. Scott, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So let's talk about, first of all, your background, because you're a self-made millionaire, but people would say, oh, that's unlikely. I'm sure a lot of people said, no way is this going to happen for this guy. So let's talk about the beginnings of your life and some of the things that happened to you, how you kind of fell into this bad gap.
Wow. Well, we would need more than 9 minutes for that, but, but I'll give you the elevator pitch. Basically, I was raised in a very dysfunctional household. I was adopted, and everything was about impressions and image. So I was kind of raised to focus more on the outside as opposed to the inside, which left me pretty emotionally devoid and missing a lot of, I think, important parts as a kid, you know, growing up. So I kind of created this alternate persona to get me through. And so I just created this world and this image of myself of being kind of overly everything, overly confident, overly popular, overly athletic, per se. When all along I was just completely lost in who I was as a person on the inside. And it was a conflict that I struggled with my entire childhood that kind of spilled into early adulthood where it came to a head. And that's that's when things just really went upside down. I got in trouble with, I started doing drugs, got in trouble with the law a lot. Never hurt, never did anything violent or sexual in nature, but was stealing cars and radios and all that. Ended up going back and forth to jail. And ultimately got sentenced to prison for a 35 year sentence for auto theft. And that was a reality check. That was one of the things I could not talk myself out of.
Wow. So you fast forward to you come out of prison, all of that, and now you're the co-CEO of Finish Line Tax Solutions, and it's one of the nation's largest tax relief firms. You live on a ranch outside of Dallas. I mean, you have this wonderful life. So tell us about the book and what made you write it, and what can people expect in Absolution, the dark path which you describe, to light?
Well, you know, it took me years to build the courage to write this book because there was so much self-inflicted trauma in my life, plus out, you know, external traumas, not only, you know, with self-esteem issues, identity issues. I didn't know who I was, didn't know where I belonged. Then, of course, I'll go to prison four times. I spent 10 years in prison. And then once I get out, I'm told that I can't get a license to do this. I can't do that. I can't own a gun. You can't. There's so many things that a person who has been to prison cannot do. But it did not change the fact that I felt like I still owed it to myself to try or deserved it. So I had to change my mindset from asking why and go into asking why not. And that is what kind of started leading me down the path of pursuing my own goals and dreams, despite what they were telling me or society was telling me I couldn't do. I have a way of looking at the world that is somewhat different from what I hear other people say. I look at the world and I see opportunities in obstacles. So what that means is every single thing I do, I have to do it outside of the box. Everything. I can't get an apartment in my name. There's certain types of banking activities that I can't do, you know, certain type of loans. They look at your background and your history. And although it's 30 years ago, it will still just categorically disqualify me from some of the basic things that the average person can do. So what I've had to do and what I've trained myself to do is to think outside of the box, because I'm not going to accept the fact that I'm not worthy nor entitled to opportunities just because you tell me I'm not meaning you, Kate, of course. But so that's, I pursue things not because you say I can't, but because I say I can. I just have to find creative ways to accomplish my goals.
All right. So this book, by the way, is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. One of the things you told me is success is in your line of sight. And you said you couldn't accept being a victim. There's such a lesson in this for so many people. So when people get your book, what can they expect? What will they learn?
Well, they'll learn that my life has been a wild ride, and the vast majority of the challenges that I faced were self-imposed. I'll be the first to admit that. At the same time, I absolutely, unequivocally refuse to take a victim stance. I'm a firm believer in owning all of my shortcomings. You know, we got to own them. You know, if we make a mistake, I don't use the word failure. I use the word shortcoming, because a failure is only a failure if you stop trying. Muhammad Ali said that you don't lose when you fall down. You lose when you stay down. So we don't fail. It's not a failure if we hit a shortcoming or if we find ourselves in a self-imposed problematic situation. We fail when we quit and we stop trying to move forward and move past it. So I see I see those situations as being opportunities to learn from and to grow from. And that's the one thing I think folks should take from the book, Absolution, The Dark Path to Light, is to not confuse barriers with obstacles. A barrier is something that you cannot get through. Prison was a barrier. I couldn't get out until they let me out, you know. However, barriers are not as abundant as obstacles are. We all face obstacles, but we tend to tend to view them as barriers. An obstacle is just something that you have to work around. And once I really started understanding that, then it really just opened up all sorts of opportunities for me, because an obstacle is an opportunity, because not only do you work around it and you learn something, but it makes you stronger. It makes you more creative in the way you think. So I welcome I welcome obstacles.
Well, I love that. Barrier is different from obstacles. That's a huge takeaway, like you said, I think, for people reading this. All right, tell us about your company and how did that all start?
Yeah, we started this company. I was homeless, actually. When you read the book, or for those of your listeners who choose to read the book, a perfect storm had developed literally in my life that rendered me homeless for 58 days. And I had a friend, or have a friend, his name's Brian Gordon, who was in a very catastrophic situation also, and we grew up together. But he knew that I knew this industry, and he knew I was good at sales and marketing, and so he was able to come up with $2,000, and he told me, he said, "Scott, man, if I come up with $2,000, you think you got one more in you?" Because he knew I started a company like this before, and it did well, and I sold it, and it's still in existence. So I said, "Brian, if it can be done, we can do it." So we took the $2,000, and I had people in my ear saying, "Man, you got, yeah," because I was in a little cheap, cheesy Motel 8 hotel, kind of seedy, and there were folks in my ear like, "Man, you just get a job. You've got a roof over your head for less than 2 weeks, and you don't have money. Take that job," because I was offered a job to sell timeshares with a base salary of, you know, maybe $500 a week. That made no sense to me. I felt like I have an opportunity. Yes, it's $2,000, but I know me and I know what I'm capable of. And it could have been $200,000, because I had zero doubt that it would succeed. I was so confident that I turned down a quote unquote real job to start a business while being homeless with $2,000. So despite what everyone said, we did that. In the first week, we turned that $2,000 into $10,000. The next week we did the same thing. 3 months later we had a little office, and in the first year we did about $1 million, and we've doubled in size every year. So we got honored by Inc. magazine last year for being one of the fastest growing companies in the country. I think we were ranked number 1304 out of 34 million companies.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been a ride.
It has been a ride. And finally, when you look at this and then you put this all together in the book, that had to feel good to see the book, to be able to touch the book, to put your life in these words and then share them with other people and spread your wisdom. Does it feel really good?
It does now. It does. It was very emotionally draining writing this book, because I was forced to face and remember and revisit so many dark places that I'd been. And so I had to get a little hand-holding along the way, but I knew that if I'm going to write an autobiography, then I have to be real. I have to tell the truth and cut no corners. Otherwise, it's a work of fiction, you know, and so it took years to build the courage, but I felt like, and I was told actually, that it would be selfish of me to not write it, considering the extreme transitions that I've made in my life. So that was what really pushed me over the edge to go ahead and write it, because had I done it, I couldn't have done it, or may not have done it, just for myself. But when I was told and was reminded of how many people need to hear this and may benefit and learn from it, that's what made me do it.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Absolution, The Dark Path to Light. Scott Allen Curley, what a delight. Pick this up, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Kay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney with an important announcement about a very serious condition.
May 24th is World Schizophrenia Day. dedicated to raising awareness of a condition affecting about 2.9 million American adults. Some symptoms of schizophrenia may include hallucinations, delusions, social withdrawal, and disorganized speech. People living with schizophrenia also may have trouble focusing or paying attention and can have difficulty with activities that are important to them. The good news is that treatment options for schizophrenia are available. It's important to talk to your healthcare provider about which treatment approach might be right for you. One way to receive schizophrenia treatment you might not know about is a long-acting injectable, or LAI. An LAI is an injection given by a healthcare provider and can last weeks or months depending on the medication chosen. To learn more about schizophrenia and an LAI treatment option for adults with schizophrenia, visit LAITreatmentOption.com. This content is sponsored by Alkermes, Inc.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Book, because I've run into so many women who have this issue, who have grandchildren, who have children, who are trying to explain a really difficult thing. Diane Davies has authored a book called Jeannie Ann's Grandma Has Breast Cancer. And imagine what a scary thing that would be for a child. And we're going to talk about that here in Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And Diane Davies, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. What made you decide, I'm going to write this book?
Well, I'll tell you, back in the early 70s, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And her treatment was very radical. They did a mastectomy with radiation. And it was very, I don't know, everything back in the 70s was a little secretive, you know, and you didn't talk about cancer, and heaven's sakes, you didn't say the word breast and mixed company and all that sort of thing. Well, then fast forward to 2004, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I decided that my daughter now had this awful thing hanging over her head, that both her grandmother and her mother have had breast cancer. And so I wrote a journal at that time chronicling my breast cancer journey. In one font, I wrote about what was actually happening to me, my experiences. And then in a second font, I wrote about how I was feeling about those experiences, what the emotions involved were. And that to make a long story short, that became my my very first book. It was called A Breast Cancer Journey, From There to Here. And when my daughter, when I gave it to my daughter and she read it, she was the one that was instrumental in helping me get it published because she felt it had a bigger message than for just her. Okay, then we'll fast forward again, and now we're in 2015. And I have been teaching first graders for 26 years, and I can see the pain of a breast cancer diagnosis in many families, and the families are getting younger and younger. The mothers are getting, seem to be younger, and with younger mothers, you get younger children, and children need to know what's going on about with a breast cancer diagnosis. So, therefore, I wrote Jeannie Ann's story. Jeannie Ann is the first grader, and she has many, many, many questions. And so the book became real and began helping people.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing to be able to help so many other people. And that's how I started this out, saying that there's so much confusion. And for you, having gone through that and everything that you just explained, do you feel like that really connects the child who's just worried and doesn't understand and doesn't ask questions maybe, or just adults are afraid of what to say?
Well, I think you're correct there. I think adults are afraid of what to say. I think they're afraid that they're going to show some raw emotion. And you know, heavens, you don't want to cry in front of your kids. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's a big bunch of bunk. You know, you are training your kids to become adults, and you want them to be the best adults that they can be. So you need to share your emotions with them. You need to share with them the big things in life as well as the little things in life, and they need to learn from you how to handle those things. And so by, you know, telling them about your breast cancer journey or any type of challenge that you come across, you're really, you know, training them to be an adult and to be a caring adult, one that can handle those big roadblocks and yet come out on the other side a stronger person. So I just feel it's so very important not to cheat them out of that part of their education. And they're only going to get that from their parents and their grandparents. They're not going to get that from society.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. So tell us about the character. Tell us about Jeannie Ann's grandma and what the child will a little bit of what they'll hear in this tale.
Well, Jeannie Ann is like any normal six-year-old. She loves routine, and believe it or not, all children love routine. It keeps them safe, and it just provides that safety net for them so that they know that things are A-okay as long as that routine is in place. Well, Jeannie Ann comes home from school this one particular day, and her baby brother is still in his pajamas. And mother forgot to give her a hug, and maybe most important, mother forgot to give her a snack. And mother looks pretty upset, and the telephone rings, and she answers it, and she starts crying. And even dinner that night, is the routine is broken, as it's quiet. Nobody's asking questions. Nobody's talking. You know, the only things that being said is, please pass the potatoes and that sort of thing. And that's a break in routine. And so right away, Jeannie Ann becomes very nervous and very upset. And as all children do, their mind goes to what's wrong? What did I do? How did I cause this? You know, what's happening? Then she leaves the table and kind of hides behind the door to the kitchen and listens in on mom and dad's conversation. And she hears the word cancer, and then her little mind really, really starts spinning. And, you know, she's imagining all kinds of things happening that it's her baby brother that has cancer, or she has cancer, or, you know, the mind is limitless in its imaginations. And so she goes to bed that night and brings up the topic to mom. You know, what's going on? I heard the word cancer, and I know something's happening. And mom very, very wisely takes the reins from there and goes on to explain to her what's happening. And throughout the story, then they begin to involve grandma in the whole process as well. And grandma and Jeannie Ann have some wonderful conversations about what's happening. And Jeannie Ann learns about mastectomies and tumors and chemotherapy and all kinds of scary things. And because grandma and mom are with her all the way, she believes, and rightly so, that she's part of helping grandma make her way through this breast cancer journey.
Yeah, and there's something about that. I'm so glad that your character has that arc, and that's what I think is also so powerful in the book, that yes, the child can help and is now included in it, instead of all of a sudden the other shoe drops if it doesn't work out, right?
That's right. And children, when there's a big happening within the family like that, a big challenge, children have four different thoughts. One thought is, did I cause it? Did my behavior make this happen? Did I do something wrong? Another thought is, can I catch it? If I hug my grandma or kiss my grandma, am I going to end up with breast cancer? And another thought is, can I cure it? Is there something that I can do to make it better? If I behave myself for all this week or all this year, you know, will grandma's breast cancer go away? And I think the fourth thing that they think of, and I think this is probably the most important one that we as parents and grandparents need to think about, is who's going to take care of me? In other words, am I going to be left to make my own dinners? Are mom and dad going to be at the hospital all the time with grandma? Where am I going to sleep? You know, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to make sure that I get to school on time and that my homework's done and all those kinds of things? You know, which seems, when you think about it, it seems a little bit selfish, but they're children. And children are concerned about themselves. And how they're going to make it in the world, especially if mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and everybody's busy with something else. So it's important to include them in this kind of a journey.
Yeah, so well said. Powerful book. I think everybody should have this, honestly. Jeannie Ann's Grandma Has Breast Cancer. It's by Diane Davies. You can get it on Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you so much, Diane, for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I have enjoyed being with you.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.